everybody, and welcome to this unusual edition of the B-roll on Real Geeks, where we're kind of going back to what we used to do early on in the show with something called Rough Cuts, which were at least planned to be shorter reviews where we put less effort into the editing. So, in terms of formatting, I am pretty much just going to apologize right now. But we are here because we recorded an episode where we reviewed the 1996 The Craft. And with The Craft Legacy dropping like yesterday, I just figured, what the hell, we reviewed the first one, so why not the second? But before that, I think we do need to take at least a second to acknowledge the news that broke today of the passing of Sir Sean Connery. A man...
What? Oh, we didn't miss that. I've been watching a movie and then getting ready for trick-or-treaters. Well, shit!
Oh, yeah, no, it broke, like, pretty much when I woke up this morning that he had passed away at the age of 90.
He apparently had been sick for a while, so.
Yeah. Man who...
What an interesting day to choose to pass away.
Yeah, frankly.
Today I shall die.
Well, I mean, it's today is Samhain, so the veil is really thin right now, and I wonder how that's going to affect him being processed on the other side.
I'm so glad somebody said that right.
I wonder how heavy beating women makes your heart.
I'm glad Mickey said that. I've been sitting on that all day.
Yeah, I was trying to get there because I was literally just about to go. He was a man who was as brilliant on camera as he was problematic off camera.
Like, condolences to his family and coworkers and those who loved him dearly. Didn't agree with his thoughts there, but yeah. He had quite the career and the legacy, and
yeah,
that's something that Hollywood has lost today, so for that, you know, rip.
So, with that, we're going to move into our discussion of The Craft Legacy, and where, at this point, we would normally play a trailer. I'm going to instead play the clip from our original review that this B-roll was originally going to be. This is specifically where I bring up the fact that this sequel exists. Because I think I had discovered it on IMDb, like, the morning we were recording.
I think one last thing before we go into just final thoughts and ratings out of 5, which is the simple fact that this movie is getting a sequel / remake.
Yeah, I saw that. I have several questions. Can we be involved in
it
or something? Or reboot?
It seems to just depend on when you heard about it. It was reported as a reboot at one point, but at another point, it's been reported as a sequel. So I'm not entirely clear on which one it actually is.
I'm not going to watch it. I'd watch it out of curiosity, but I'd wait until, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to really see it in theater. I'll watch it on after it's been released on like DVD or something. But
yeah, like
I'll not go with that.
With copious amounts of alcohol. I couldn't do alcohol today. Mine has been too long at LCBO. That and I have to drive later. So
I'm game. I think a lot of that is only because it's Blumhouse Studios that's doing it.
It's production status is now post-production.
Yeah.
A group of high school students form a coven of witches, a remake of the 1996 film The Craft. And, it's got David Duchovny in it.
A remake would be good.
Yeah.
Because
there would be definitely potential.
And the story is not terrible.
terrible. It's just told terribly.
It needs to be written well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a director who didn't just graduate from, like, director community college.
It's a recent enough addition to IMDb that the actors, half of them, don't even have character names listed under them.
Oh.
But yeah. There's actors listed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't find anything. I guess
it is not deep enough. It's the second listing of when you type in the craft, it's the second listing.
I know
what
I'm
doing
later.
So Michelle Monaghan, Kaylee Spaney, David Duchovny, Gideon Adlin. Adlin.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But yeah, it is being touted as being a remake.
Ah, so. Was it 20 to 30 year old people playing high school students?
But then in the trivia, it says instead of the film being a remake, it's going to be a sequel set 20 years after the original. So, oh, filming location is Toronto.
Shocker!
Cool!
I've heard of there. Ah, Toronto serving as like every major American city. I know, I love it.
Unlike Queen, then they come to Nova Scotia.
Ah!
Yeah.
Don't they go to BC after Toronto for major cities?
If it's science fiction.
Typically, if it's Boston / Maine or Stephen King, they come here.
Yeah, I almost got to be in it for that because of that.
But yeah, like, I'm looking at this.
When I came up, I was watching. It's like, oh, that was the scene I would have been in.
I'm looking at this planned. Resequeled? And I'm like, Blumhouse, so lower budget, more atmospheric than how much blood can we throw at the camera, which works for me.
David Duchovny, that can go either way.
Female writer and director. And if I remember right, it's the same woman. Exactly, especially since she's the only writer, and the only listed writer anyway.
Yeah, Zoe Lister-Jones.
So there's a lot here where I'm like, I see potential here.
We got something to work with.
I think especially if it's going to be a sequel, I would like to see at least one of the women from the original movie in here in some capacity.
I definitely
like
to see how it connects
together.
Yeah. Like whether it's bringing back Sarah as the equivalent of the store owner who apparently has no problem with shoplifting, but
I was missing the biggest amount of wine. Yeah, I find it easier to watch with the copious amounts of wine. I'll try that later and let you know how that goes. There might be less swearing. There might be more swearing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I edited the first 18 minutes over pizza and then finished the rest of it just right after I woke up this morning. So just lying in bed. Not overly awake.
That
was probably better, though.
With that, there were some things that we were right-ish without knowing anything about the movie. Other things, man, where we are. But the hilarious thing is, and I think this reflects a lot on probably the studio's faith in the film in general. Now, Vita, you had mentioned in that clip how none of the actors have character named listings on IMDb at that point. All of that information went up last night.
Oh wow! Did it?
Yeah.
Well, it's just they
in the movie.
Okay, so they were holding off on certain names until the movie was released. Then, Lily and Adam, because you know,
Well, I'm not surprised that Lily was short for Lilith, all things considered.
But like, I'm just going to launch into this. This script is a fucking mess. and its symbology is horseshit. So yeah, you've got two named characters, and I guess technically the mom, but yeah, all the other characters don't really have names or characteristics. They have one.
The boys all have names, and they're all biblical names. So the father is Adam.
Yeah.
Which, who is Adam in the Bible? Let's get back to that one. Put a pin in that right now. Then there's Isaiah, Jacob, and Abe. So we have, I'm going to jump into this. So we have a man who is involved in some kind of pagan cult, because they talk about the whole symbology of snakes and stuff, and it's his family crest. So obviously the family has pagan roots. Let's just put that right there. But they're all biblical names. And Adam is, let me think about this. Oh, right, the first man, according to Genesis, and the daughter, Lily, the stepdaughter, short for Lilith, who in the Bible was Adam's first wife? Hello? Gross.
Okay, check this out. A little bit of trivia where I'm going to absolutely break Vita.
Uh-oh.
And don't break Vita.
I'm not even good doing this.
Now, okay, you remember how the original film, it's been noted repeatedly that they had an occult consultant on set?
Uh-huh, supposedly.
There's two listings in the trivia for this movie that I want you to take note of. One is that, like I said, the original movie had one consultant. This one had three.
Beautiful.
Plus, three out of the four lead actresses are apparently practicing witches. So technically, this film had...
Then they should have all known better about all the shit that I'm going to bring up.
Can I just note, though, that there's, like, just narratively, the magic aside, so you've got a character who doesn't know who her father is, and a father figure who wants to sacrifice her, essentially.
Darth Vader.
And they're... They're related through names. Why in the hell wasn't it revealed at the very end that he was her actual father, and he's trying to, like, steal back this power that he thought he would get from the mother and didn't? Then he lost the kid because the mother was trying to hide the kid, and he finally found her through her social worker, and it's all this insidious plot. It's like, it was right
there. That's what I was waiting for.
Right?
There was so much. I was waiting for that reveal, and like, so much of
I was waiting for him to either be a weird, creepy pedo dad, which he wasn't, but he was still creepy, just not pedo. Or I was waiting for him to be her actual father.
Like, yeah. Weird. What was with his weird Nazi self-help nonsense? That it had nothing to do with the magic or the parental stuff.
No.
Oh, and by the way, he's a fascist. Okay, why is the mother with him?
The dick was good.
Yeah. Mothers in films are depicted as desperate and looking for an anchor or looking for a man to complete them, especially when, you know, they have kids to try to raise. They're always looking for that relationship.
Well, even just when we first meet Adam, other than my initial thought of, oh, well, previously on The X-Files, I was just kind of like, it's like, oh, okay, so, you know, estranged father, okay, cool. So she's getting to know her dad because they've been apart for so long or whatever. But, oh, no, this is just mom's boyfriend.
Which, again, I have issues with mom moving daughter into a household. Supposedly. Mm. I mean, are they dating still? The parents introducing the kids before they hook up?
Yeah, no.
Or at least move in together?
I get the feeling that a stage of writing of this script, he was supposed to have cast some sort of spell on her, and that's why it's accelerated.
More than likely,
of course they made him less interesting by removing the idea that, you know, like he does have magic power, but apparently it's practically nothing. He has it
until it's necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He has very script-based powers. It's very it's the most powerful kind of magic.
It's this weird case of it's almost an accidental double remake in the second half of the movie, because with Adam, when we first meet him and he starts, we find out what he does for a living. I'm sitting there going, "Oh, you're gonna make him MRA stereotype, aren't you?" Like that was number one.
Like kinda. They did, and they didn't. They didn't even commit.
Number two
was that as much as Duchovny does a decent job with what he's been given, at the same time, I haven't gone, he's the bad guy, that quickly since Ed Harris in Geostorm.
It's almost, though, like, it's funny. Yeah, you can tell immediately he's the bad guy because a couple of reasons, but number one, he's the most famous man in this film, therefore probably is.
Yeah.
At the very, very beginning of the film, he's not even playing the same character, I feel. He's playing some father from a generic, a teen drama comedy. And then there's this switching character that comes out of nowhere where suddenly this generic teen father comedy guy becomes fascist.
He actually had a very Ritter vibe from that episode in Buffy.
Yeah.
The robot that was dating Buffy's mom.
Yeah.
That's the vibe he came off with.
And continue with that. Jesus Christ. David Duchovny is capable of acting. So it's not his
son. Yeah.
No, it's really, it's not him. But like I said, there's almost an accidental double remake because in the second half of the movie, when they basically go, if you haven't figured out by now that he's the villain, so help us, we're going to beat you over the head with it. It felt like they suddenly decided to mash up The Craft with another 90s occult film, The Covenant.
Hmm.
Which is, for those who don't know, it's basically the Covenant was essentially what the original Craft was, but for dudes, it's darker, more occult based, and way more Hollywood magic. And literally from the moment we first meet Lily's three stepbrothers, it's like. Or Stepford brothers, because they're really robotic.
Oh, so charismatic and personable.
I was thinking I'm getting them. Hang on, I think you're supernatural.
That was the Stepford vibe there, in that when Helen went to go get up to get the chicken, and Timmy went to go help her, and Isaiah or Jake's like, no, sit down. Said, no, I want to help. So yeah, it definitely had a bit of that Stepford vibe in it, in that the woman's place is in the kitchen and the men aren't supposed to help. Might come across that I've had some issues with this movie.
all I could think when they were on screen is this is like Mirror Universe Hansen, because there's the young one, the middle one, the tall one. And they never smile. It's evil Hansen. I was waiting for them to burst into a really dark pop song about how they're going to kill you.
That plays into the opposite, yeah.
And it felt like there really wasn't much of a use for them either, other than a way to bring in Timmy and the youngest one saying, oh yeah, no, Dad's strict, but you know, he does care. There wasn't really a narrative purpose for them. I even forgot their names. No. I mean, other than, I hooked up with your stepbrother, and yeah, your brother doesn't like that, and oh, they're sad that he's dead. You know, they really didn't have much of a purpose.
Also, like, there's weird little moments where you get a feeling that they did have a purpose or something, like when that one guy was sleepwalking. And it's like, was he stalking her? Was he under a spell? It doesn't matter.
Well, okay, so she has a sweater. Yeah. Lily had the sweater, and she did the little spell on the sweater to bring the owner of the sweater, assuming it's Timmy, closer to her. And then, of course, there's the little tidbit of information about Timmy and Isaiah having hooked up. So, yeah. Whose sweater is it?
True.
Because shortly after she does that, yes, Timmy does come into her room. But then later that night, so does Isaiah, who's naked. And that's, like, the night that Timmy dies. So, who killed Timmy?
Yeah.
All of these questions.
Yeah, all they needed was like, to describe that, oh, Duchovny's essentially zombified his sons, and they're now doing his bidding. Okay, cool. Now yeah. There's zombie henchmen, which means that we can empathize with them as victims instead of hating them. Awesome. Great. Nope, you didn't even do that.
I can't even say that I hate them because, I mean, they really
they're
didn't do
black.
Anything.
So
yeah, exactly.
You can't hate characters. They're too black.
Yeah,
there's so much that is just tangled and then dropped.
Well, at least they got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that.
Joke got paid, groceries were bought, maybe, you know, like a treat for themselves. I mean, hey, that's how, you know, if it's a project that sucks, you know, you go, well, something to add to the resume, and yay, I paid my bills for the month.
At least I got to work with David Duchovny.
That too.
You know, I mean, yeah, you can stick that aside from every softcore porn actress in the 90s.
Even the entire, the entire high school sequence, everything at the high school in this movie, I'm sitting there like, it's so feminine that I'm sitting here going, a lot of this dialogue might as well have been out of a Lifetime Channel movie, because I kept flashing back to the Stalked by My Doctor series way too many times, and make no mistake, those movies are not good. But a lot of the dialogue in those movies, like, it's just, they hit a topic, and it's like there's a checklist of things you have to hit.
You don't talk like that?
No! But, with a lot of it, I'm also going, I'm also a 40-year-old guy, so if the target audience is here, I'm about 10 miles that way.
10 miles?
Yeah, maybe a little, so the way that I look at it, I'm not someone who watched The Craft when I was a teenager or any of that. I watched it, almost academically when I was, I think, 27 or something. I'm like, oh, here's a thing I completely spaced on. I should watch that. So I don't have any of those connections to it. But I get the feeling as someone who saw it later, The Craft was made for high schoolers. This was made for preteens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that explains literally everything about this movie.
And like I said, with the first half, I'm kind of going, I don't know how much I'm allowed to complain here, but at the same time, I have so many questions.
Oh, yeah, I'm not done complaining.
He rolled my ass when he hit for a couple hours.
I'm not done complaining.
Well, it seems like you have the horror film cliche where strange supernatural things happen and no one questions anything. There's that scene in the trailer where Lily telekinetically shoves Timmy off of her and into the lockers.
Halfway down the hall.
And, number one, the fact that all the other students that are there just carry on like this is a perfectly normal thing to happen on an everyday basis.
Well, I mean, they did imply that he's an A1 jerk, so maybe he's done something like that before and been clobbered for it?
My question, I guess, would be, how old is the writer of this? Because I think you're right. This points to a lot of tropes and references that are far out of date, and shoving the bully into lockers and kind of just getting whatever detention, it is very much like, you were raised in the 80s or the 90s, weren't you?
Especially where he is that typical, I mean, he comes off as the typical jock who, I mean, we don't know who all he bullies. We know that he's being an asshat to the female population, which, if you take that a few steps further, he does come out later, literally come out later, and say that he kind of swings both ways. So maybe his being an asshat to the female population is him trying to cover up that he has insecurities about his homosexuality. But, you know, and then they flip it and go, oh, well, he was afraid to come out. But now he's come out and he's done it with a great, you know, force. And he's just hit all the chalk marks. All of them. Yeah.
But that could have been a whole potential for him, too. You know, like, take away the magic. I like the idea of, you know, the new girl and the guy that's struggling to come to terms with who he is because of, I mean, look at who his friend's dad is and his ideals that he preaches. You know, I would have liked to have kind of seen that growth without the magic and the whole, you know, without the consent thing. There could have been potential, you know, a group of outsiders coming together and then, you know, helping someone else. But no, we got this magical.
And I'm seriously questioning, again, like Adam doing the whole self-help strong man thing. Okay, so does he have an issue with Timmy because Timmy is now bi? Because they made a whole issue about why isn't Isaiah here for supper. Oh, well, Isaiah went out, and they've already said that Isaiah's having issue or difficulty coming to terms with him and Timmy hooking up. So, how will a strong man who promotes strong men deal with having a gay son?
You don't.
And is that why he killed Timmy? Or is that why he had Timmy killed?
Yeah, I just think... It's like you just said, Crush, like, you have this, when he comes out, he realizes he's basically just accidentally come out to these girls he's just met, it's a really nice bit of acting.
Oh, yeah,
he
looks great.
And never spoken of again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, the movie almost went, ooh, whoa, no, you got too interesting there, so we're gonna kill you off screen.
Kill the gay character, great.
No, totally,
yeah.
Totally fine. Totally not problematic at all. No.
Also, one other thing too, with the whole self-help group thing, when, you know, we are strong, you know, Timmy killed himself, he was weak. It's like, oh, so we're going back into the Catholicism thing, even though, you know, you're from pagan roots.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then it turns out, no, I killed him. Oh, okay. So, what the, like, this film is so shallow. It hurts.
Also, hold on, when Adam was killed, what happened to his sons? Again, like, that's why I kind of say, like, you know, they really didn't serve a purpose, because once their dad died, we never hear about them again. Did Ellen adopt them as well? Did they fuck off? Or
presumably they've gone to live with mom or something.
I
don't mention what happened to Adam's wife.
I don't know.
We don't get any indication that her mom gets kidnapped and then freed off screen, and then told off screen that her husband was an evil warlock who is now dead or in hell. Off screen, we don't get to see any of that. None.
Fuck. The production value. Like, we've almost run out of out of the budget, and we only have so much time left.
Okay.
Shit.
But like,
and I just want to jump in specifically because Natasha mentioned the budget. When you compare the original movie with this sequel. And this is the one thing that fascinates me about both films. The original film was $15 million in 1996.
$15 million?
This film is $15 million today.
Oh, that's not a whole lot.
Really?
For film.
It's the same. Actually, on IMDb, they're both listed as having a $15 million budget.
Well, let me just say that...
So, what's the conversion? Because 1995, 1996, compared to 2019, 2020, how does that rate?
I don't know what the inflation would be. I kind of got stuck on the fact that everything I've heard about Blumhouse, if you get more than $5 million out of that studio, you have blackmail material on Jason Blum somewhere.
It's about $24 million today.
$24 million, okay. They still could have put that blackmail money to better use.
I feel like they actually did quite well effects-wise. There's nothing stunning in it, but like, if you only have $15 million and most of that probably goes towards David Duchovny, I think that the stop time effects were pretty decently done.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's probably the biggest effect aside from like actors kayfabing themselves into walls and shit.
And the fire.
And the fire.
Yeah.
Fire's key.
Yeah. As much as, like, as good as the visuals were, and, like, you're right, they were, but at the same time, and I'm pretty sure Vita is going to jump in again any second now, but, going back to the magic as it's portrayed in this film, it's like, either go full Hollywood magic, or go actual witchcraft.
No, we're going to go bath bombs. That's what we're going to use this for.
That was the worst visual in my
opinion. They had bath bombs!
Didn't use a bath bomb!
They had bath bombs! That whole bathtub scene, they had bath bombs!
Yeah. And that's actually where I wanted to go, because it was like... There are a lot of those ritual scenes where I'm going... I think you're using the right words. The problem is, I have no clue what this ritual is actually for.
Vita.
Okay.
Go into the stuff that I fell in love with you for.
First of all, you don't, open up the whole trousseau to a brand new witch that's never met you before 2 days ago. You don't go, oh, hey, we're a bunch of witches. You want to join our coven? To somebody that you just met 2 days ago. You have no idea what their intention or their energy is or anything. That's like me walking down the street, shaking hands with a stranger and going, hey, you want to come home and practice some witchcraft with me? I'm going to show you all my tricks and secrets and then, you know, explain myself to all my vulnerabilities. I have no idea who you are, but sure, I'm going to trust you because you look like a good person.
Okay. Yeah, the one person that read auras, remember? So she could tell.
Yeah, she's Anakin Skywalker, so it's entirely okay and nothing bad will come of this.
So, the whole you have to start on the air when calling quarters is bull. You don't have to start on the air. You can start on any of them depending on what intent you're setting. But if you're not that Wicca, then if you're just a witch, you can start at the north. You can start with the earth, really. And by the way, there's actually that whole chant they were doing, the air, the fire, the water, or the earth. There actually is a song. They took those words straight from a song to build energy, only it's the earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. I could sing it for you, but I don't want to hurt your ears. So, but it is. It's literally...
I prefer Earth, Wind, and Fire's other work myself.
There it is.
So, and they're talking about first, second, third, fourth, different levels. Oh, well, we've never been able to get past the first level before. Okay, first of all, in Wicca, and bear in mind, I am not Wiccan. I am a witch. There is a difference. One is more religion. One is more way of life. So, if you're Wiccan, there are... levels. There are goals that you're supposed to look for, and you're supposed to practice a new chapter or a new level for a year and a day. Not a day. A year and a day. So to get to fourth level anything would take 4 years.
Not a couple of years. Into college, university.
Yeah. And so that whole telepathy thing, empaths and telepaths do exist. And if you have a strong enough bond, empaths can communicate with one another. That doesn't happen in a day. That doesn't, they haven't even started working together yet. They don't know anything about this new person. But hey, she's, oh, I can hear you. So you're definitely our fourth because you can hear us. And then, okay, so they're in the woods, they're playing around. Yes, they did do the circle, but it's not there to contain you. It is there to protect you from negative outside forces and energies, not to contain what you're doing because, well, that would be like a tempest in a teapot. It needs to go somewhere. Then there's the whole, they're now move forward a little bit and they're going to break into Timmy's house. First of all, do what ye will and it harm none. You don't fucking break into someone's house to fucking do a spell on them.
What are you talking about? They didn't break into the house. They found the key. They let themselves
in. They found the hiding key. Anyway, semantics. So they broke into this guy's house without permission to do a spell on him to what? Make him less of a D-bag. Okay. Let's just break down the ingredients here. Rose oil, rose quartz, angelica root, or angelica leaf. So, rose oil, for those not in the know, is expensive because the process to extract oil from a plant, from leaf, from vine, whatever, it's very difficult. And when you have a petal that has little to no oil in it, it's very difficult to get the oil out of it. Citrus, not a problem. Rose, we're talking like $100 for an ounce.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was 20 years ago. I don't know what it is now. I don't want to look. So, they usually use rose water instead. But rose oil is to bring about, and here's the magical properties of it, love. Love, fertility, and protection. Remember this. Love, fertility, and protection. Rose quartz is for love and trust. What did they just do? Right, they broke into the guy's house. But it's a spell about trust. Angelica is for healing, protection, and banishing. Okay, so yeah, they want to make him less of a D-bag. They're going to banish his bad side. Okay, I can kind of bend that one. What do they add to that as the personal embodiment of this guy? There is. A really strong life force would be blood, okay? So if you can get blood, perfect. If you can get hair, nail, okay. No, they fucking take his jizz out of a used condom, okay? So they've got items that promote love, fertility, and, oh yeah, jizz. Let's just... I don't think they're trying to make him less of a D-bag. Not with those ingredients.
So, I mean, really, she can perform that love spell while masturbating. Got it.
That was amazing, by the way. I love
it. So, yes, this would be where I typed in that there was, you know, I'm like 27 minutes into this and there are swear words. This was what brought that comment about.
Okay. Now, number one, I literally want to do more witchcraft or Wicca-related movies just so that this could keep happening.
You want to put the picture of Vina?
Number two, where Vina had a whole fuck ton of problems with that scene from like a more mystical standpoint. That scene drove me crazy from a more practical standpoint because the entire scene, I'm going, okay, 13-year-old girls or however old they're, like, 16 might be stupid enough to break into this guy's house, which is, like, okay, I can let that go, but I'm also going, why did you stay there? And even then,
FYI, the whole idea of using a bong as a cauldron, I kind of had issue with that too.
I kind of like
that.
That's the hat, yeah.
I can totally see where you, like, that was, it kind of felt like they used the bong just for almost a cheap sight gag. Mm-hmm. But with the end of that scene where good old Timmy and his family come home, I'm also sitting there going, okay, this movie has already established that these girls can control time. They've already chronicled the holy hell out of these characters. If they can control time, why are they panicking to get out the window?
Yeah.
Also, why not just stop time and leisurely walk out the front door?
There's a lot wrong with the basic logistics of that scene. So first of all, this is the only time that we'll see his parent, even after he commits suicide. We never see them again, by the way. But the parent hears teenage girls laughing from his teenage son's room. Doesn't seem to actually give a shit about it. They're screaming rather loudly. He's supposed to be home, but he's not home. But they never say where the fuck he is. I presume he's out having sex with Isaiah or whatever. But it's like,
probably.
It's trying to make connections that you then have to do the extra effort for, and it's just,
I'm missing some pieces of the puzzle here.
Yeah, it's not even like the fun way that you make connections in things where it's like, oh, we intentionally left you a clue so that you're involved. No, it's like, okay, you
write your fan fiction.
Yeah, write the fan fiction so I don't have to.
Now, also to go to things that were either missed or dropped over the course of viewing this movie, there's one thing I do need to bring up with one of the lead actresses, just so that I can finally know for my own peace of mind if I missed something. Now, the character of Lourdes, the tallest of the four,
the trans character.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, going just by what's in this movie, did anyone actually know that she was trans?
Not until they
look it up, she is trans.
No.
I did look it up, and I think her name is Zoe Luna. She is trans.
And like,
other than the
reason,
one drop, that was...
The only reason I ask this is specifically because I had seen a couple articles talking about how the director had gone to GLAAD and consulted with them to make the set more inclusive, make the story more inclusive for the character. Like, basically, how do I do this character right?
They do mention early on that she is trans, because when they're talking about periods and first blood and whatnot, Lord makes the comment of, I don't know what that's like, I don't have that frame of reference. And so that's their way of saying that she is a trans person, and she is being played by trans actress.
Yeah. There's also a couple of, like, they repeat that about two or three times, and then there's a line where she says, trans girls have their own kind of magic, which is, have you ever...
I think that's all in the same part, that's the same part where they're walking towards the woods. They do make comment in the school about her not getting a period. And then they make comment again as they're walking towards the wood to do that first ritual in the Ring of Stones.
Yeah, and also, you're right, walking towards it, not in it, yeah. No, that's it. So yeah, three times. It gets referenced three times.
Okay.
It doesn't mean anything for her character.
And I mean, I love that they don't beat you over the head with it.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we're pigeonholing this person in here just so that we can have that inclusivity. I very much like that they didn't do that. They just, this is who she is, she's trans, okay, that's normal, let's go.
Yeah, what it did feel like, and along with almost everything else, especially when, oh my god, I've forgotten his name, Jock Bro, who becomes good.
Timmy went down the well!
It's the name! Timmy is not a Jock Bro name, so
it's not, especially when you used to watch that, oh my god, film soap opera that had a witch and a little person.
Ashes.
His name was Timmy. Tabitha and Timmy.
Yeah. So yeah.
So whenever I hear Timmy, I hear of him. I think of him.
It's ruined forever. But like when he starts, performing, I guess being performatively like progressive and stuff. It was like a checklist that this movie
yep.
has been trying to make sure it hits. And it's not a checklist in the same sense of like people complain about, SJW is taking over Hollywood or whatever. No, it's more like the kind of checklist you would make if this was the 80s and 90s that you would make for a preteen show dealing with drugs, where you have to have like everything that seemed relevant socially at the time. This is a film that is everything relevant at the time to, say, a preteen girl or queer person. And in 10 years, this is going to be absolute nonsense, or possibly outdated, or possibly cringe. But yeah, no, it's weird. It's like they did, the first one doesn't have that checklist. It seems to actually be like trying to just enjoy its subculture for what it is. This one, I almost get the feeling like goth and witch subculture doesn't exist in the high school or the world that they went to. It's weird. It's sanitized. It's so sanitized.
What high school did you go to? There was goth all over the place in my school.
Them that were goth in this movie. That's what I mean. Is like, where they're supposed to be the outgroup, but there's nothing to it. Whereas, yeah, in the craft, it's like full on 90s goth.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of goth, I did also want to get back to the only trailer for this movie for a second, because from there I'm going to go to the cameo at the end of the movie. And I, again, if you haven't been sufficiently spoiled at this point, you may want to stop now. Even though the trailer pretty much spoiled this for you. Yeah.
I have an issue with the timeline.
I have a feeling you and I may actually have similar issues, so hold that thought. But when I saw the trailer, I had two concerns. One was that when they stick on the "We are the weirdos, Mister" line at the very end of the trailer, that kind of scared me, because holy crap, did that feel crowbarred? And a lot of the references to the original film in this movie still feel crowbarred to a certain degree, because with like the very opening, I was cracking up. Because it is trying way too hard to redo the opening of the original film.
Yeah, even used the same text, didn't it?
It's almost shot for shot the same opening.
Yeah.
And my other concern was the moment in the trailer where you see the photo of Nancy. And initially that concern was seeing a lot of my friends who are huge fans of the original film getting super excited over seeing that, and like, yeah, people are going, oh, is Nancy going to be in it? Are we gonna see? And I'm sitting here like, oh, if that photo is all we get, people are going to be pissed.
We didn't even get that clip either, because we were messaging each other afterwards, like, did we blink and miss it? Or no, it was just in the trailer and then it was not in the movie.
Now, I mean, to be fair, they did have the cameo. So maybe they decided we have the cameo, we can cut that, you know, to make for time or whatever, we can put that on the cutting room floor. Whatever.
Yeah, but still,
I
it was
looking for it, and if I didn't see it, I was like, did I blink? Did I miss it? So, that's one of the themes that's not
the fact that
movie,
we
need
to expect Nancy specifically. That ruined it.
Yeah, because there's a scene where we find out that Helen is not Lily's birth mother. Lily has been adopted. And the instant she pulls out those adoption papers, I had the same moment that I had.
Her mom is, yeah.
It was the same thing as Rise of Skywalker, where I figured out that Rey was Palpatine's granddaughter way too quickly. Mm-hmm. Here, I immediately went, okay, she's clearly Nancy's daughter.
Yeah.
Which...
I have several questions, first off.
Okay, I have a feeling we're going to have...
It's 20 years. Hold on. They brought this movie...
I have a feeling we may have the same questions, because there's a point when Helen starts talking about this patient at the crisis center she worked at. I'm kind of going, number one, I'm not 100% sure that what you're describing is really ethical.
No.
No.
Thank you. But number two, I'm also going, the last time we saw Nancy, she was not in a crisis center.
No, she was in a fucking old school.
Yeah, she was in an old school asylum.
Mm-hmm. And apparently she's still there. So, 20 years. 20 years. Now, assuming that Lilith, is 16, because I don't think they actually give the girls ages. So assuming she's 16, add on 40 weeks, so a year. So you're looking at 17 years. 20 years after the fact. Did Nancy get out of the hospital? Was she on a day pass? Did she get out for a while? Good behavior?
She banged on the nurses?
Well, she had to bang someone because, like, obviously, A, she had the child, but B, David Duchovny knew her and had been with her and stole her power.
Yeah.
Was that conjugal visits?
So that's why I was wondering, it's like, okay, so Adam must be her father then.
Yeah.
Because
no,
he knew Nancy.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Now, okay, that could have happened if... And again, with Wicca, there are some great rites. There are some rituals. There's actually a bit of a dark, seedy part of Wicca in that, and this isn't all Wiccans, this isn't all Wicca, but there are high priests and high priestesses, and there's some magic wherein the high priest and or the high priestess have sex magic, and it's a great rite. So sometimes, like for Beltane, there are couples that go out to promote fertility in the fields. Use your imagination. If you've seen The Mists of Avalon, you'll know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so was Lily conceived during a rape wherein Nancy would then be part of the crisis center, or was she conceived during a ritual? But again, there's still that 3-year gap where Nancy was in the psych ward, and then Nancy got out on day pass and had sex, and then 40 weeks later gave baby up for adoption.
It really, if nothing else, should have given Fariza Balk more than one line. At the very least.
Which he probably should have come in halfway through. Like, the second act of this is a real mess and doesn't have anything to do really with the third act, the conclusion. It would be great if that revelation came through. And so the third act is saving her adopted mom, saving her real mom, escaping her the revealed evil dad.
Presumably
tied with the reveal of how much of a father he is, plus saving or defeating the hench boys, whatever.
Thing.
Yeah.
Plus reconnecting with her friends. There's so much that they could have done, and they just kind of ignored, and at the end she just... Yeah, she fucking Zuko'd her enemy into oblivion, and we don't have to answer any questions, officer. I don't know where he went.
Just stick him on the side of a milk carton. That's, you know, oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh, no.
Nobody ever talks about it again. If she was that powerful, you know, I would have expected, like, if we hadn't seen Nancy in the trailer, her being, like, I don't know, Sarah's daughter or something. If I'm remembering names correctly. But because...
Yeah.
Nancy was shown in the trailer. It's like, oh, well, okay, we know who to expect. And that's about it.
Yeah, and also, especially where Lily is supposed to be the Sarah analog for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But by halfway through, she's suddenly basically the Nancy analog. And again, like I said earlier with the magic in this movie, again, pick one.
Pick a lane.
Yeah, like, just pick something and stay with it. And I think just to go into my final thoughts and wrap up and stuff with this, that's the biggest issue with this thing, in that like we talked about in the recording for the original Craft, about how at one point this was reported to be a sequel, at one point this was reported to be a reboot. It's trying to do both, and I think that's really what the biggest problem is. It needed to be either a reboot or a sequel, instead of trying to do both and then completely failing at both.
You know what would be really cool? Like, imagine if instead of doing this sequel reboot thing, this half-ass thing that they did.
Yeah.
Has anyone here seen Vitch, the Vitch from a couple of years ago?
No.
Super dark, like European Scandinavian horror film. I believe it takes place in the 1600s in like a rural area, and it's about the devil comes in the form of a billy goat and convinces this witch to do evil. It's a horror, but like it's this super psychological, deep, like rural horror thing. And imagine if they had done that kind of like terrifying shit with this. Like, what if this film had actually been fucking scary, but also had all of the check marks and the modern stuff and the kids? Like, this should be a film that would scare an 8-year-old. And that 8-year-old should then, at the age of 9, buck up the courage to watch it. And by the age of 10, want to show it to other people. And by the age of 11, have maybe grown past it, but it's a founding influence on their taste. And instead, no.
The original film was the one that made 16-year-old me go, okay, this has me curious how witchcraft actually works. Maybe I'm... remember, like, this made me go, how does it actually work? Not, oh, this is what it's like. Bit of a difference. This sequel, I don't feel like, and I have not been that 16-year-old kid in a very long time, so I could be wrong, but I don't feel like there's anything in this sequel that would make anyone have that same curiosity, which is kind of a huge detriment.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think I'm going to say 2.5 out of 5, simply because I'm kind of on that fence of, like I said earlier, there's so many things here where I have questions. But then toward the second half of the film, there was stuff that I enjoyed, but that stuff does not make the movie good. So I'm just kind of like just right in that middle. I can't recommend it, but if you did enjoy it, I'm not really going to argue with you either. But now, just because I've got to hear this, Vita, you go next.
From a witch's perspective, don't bother. Just,
yeah.
Unless you enjoy spewing profanity and wanting to throw things at the screen, don't bother. From a layperson's perspective who wants to watch a movie, If I were to take off my conical hat and put my broom away for a little while, did I enjoy the movie? No, because it had me questioning too much about it. It really did. It was the whole cliche of Adam and Lilith, and even without the conical hat and the broom, I still can't get past the names and if I'm going to rewatch this movie, and I am later, with lots of wine, just to see if I can get through it again, I might give it a two, and that's the lay person, not the witch. The witch would say, fuck it, burn it.
Burn, says the witch.
Yes. And there was that whole part about, yeah, now it's your turn to burn.
He didn't burn anyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
He is a man in a fire. Now it's the man's turn to burn as opposed to the woman's turn to burn. That's all I got out of that one.
All right, Natasha?
I would say a three, simply for the fact that I think there would have been much more potential in terms of character story and growth if it wasn't a magic movie. Because, yeah. I mean, seeing the characters sort of connect and bond over something and then, you know, getting to know Timmy and whatnot, and seeing it's really just kind of a facade trying to hide who he really is because he's not really sure. He's, you know, not that that excuses his behavior beforehand, but I mean, I think it would have had much more of an impact too if, you know, he'd kind of come to that realization without magic. But, you know, it was more so just kind of for those teenage and growth moments, you know, moving somewhere, getting to know new people, making friends, finding out that people aren't really what they seem because of, you know, outside forces, like someone like Adam, who, you know, it's the man's man world and whatnot. The magic could have done without. I mean, for what they did, you know, it was fine. I think I enjoyed this one more than the original one, but that, I think that's more so just because, I mean, 96 was the year that I was born, so I really don't have much of a connection to that time. I have much more of a connection to, I graduated high school 6 years ago.
And finally,
so yeah, I give this film is light as a feather, but its writing is stiff and I'm bored. You know what I really would have liked to see with this? What if you make a craft movie and there's no actual magic in it? It's just purely high school politics and like the imaginations of teenage girls. That would be cool.
That totally would. But number one, that rating was better than most of the references in the actual movie.
You're welcome.
And number two, according to this movie, apparently you can bind and unbind yourself at will. So I feel like that may be the only flaw in your idea. with that and the simple fact that we've already recorded far longer than I planned to.
An hour, you say? What? Let's get the witch to watch the movie and then try to stay under an hour to record the review.
Yeah, Mike, what were you thinking? God.
I was thinking this is a B-roll, so I don't care anyway. stay tuned, folks, because we do have one more review of a horror film coming, and I promise it's better than this movie was. with that, we'll see everybody next time.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.